And now we have a reading from Scripture. It is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It may or may not be on the screen. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And now I'd like to bring up Mr. Jesse Boy to be our sermonator for the evening.
All right, how's it going, everybody? Hey, wait, what?
How are you?
I'm all right. I got broken off a little bit. I experienced another episode of Tyler trying to kill me. Yeah, I rode dirt bikes yesterday, and we were all worried about it, like, because it was my brother. I wanted to take my brother on dirt bikes, and he had never really ridden a dirt bike before, and we were like, okay, I'm not sure if he'll be able to handle it. Should we do this trail? It's kind of hard. It's got that crazy rock part. And so Tyler goes through it, and then my brother goes through it just fine, and then I fall over and sprain my ankle. I was the one we should have been worrying about yesterday. But anyways, yeah, my brother's in town, which I'm really happy about. He's down there. He's the handsome one. We both have the funny voice, Yeah, he's more fun to look at. I like that he's in town, and basically I prioritized him over you guys a little bit. I probably should have worked on the sermon a little bit more. But it's good! I told you last week it was going to be about that we are the body of Christ, and that Christ is the head. We are going to do that. It's going to happen a couple weeks later. I was talking with some of you guys and some of the staff who talked to even more of you guys, and there was this kind of sentiment with this series that we're doing, the series on identity. And people are like, yeah, it's good, it's fine, it's great. It's like, okay, I'm the family of God. That's wonderful. I'm a friend of God. It's great. But what do I do? That's fascinating. That's interesting. But what do I do? And so that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk a little bit more about what identity means and what it doesn't mean. And to just put it up front for you guys, identity is not about doing. Identity is about being. The verbs that happen with identity are state of being verbs, not action verbs. We are, I am, he is, she is. Not he kicked or she jumped. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. There's a couple of new faces. Just FYI, we can be a little PG-13, and we like kids around. We deal with some of the more sharper tools in the repertoire of life. Basically, we think if you have to deal with things like profanity and aggression and sex, those things should be dealt with in church, because otherwise you get your lessons somewhere else, and you get your lessons from something that is false and not truth. We are talking about the truth here, but just to prepare you. Now, to prepare me and to prepare us all, we got to pray. The horse before the cart is Jesus. We need him to be leading us into truth and not me. So, yeah, pray with me, all right, guys? All right, God, help me out. You often do, and I wish you would tonight. We're trying to figure out who we are. We're trying to figure out how to exist in this world. Because it's a mess, and we don't understand how to do it. We don't understand ourselves sometimes. But we want to get further. We want to understand more. We want to make this place better. And I really believe if we know who you are, we'll know who we are better. And if we know who you are and we are, I think we can function out of much more beauty, much more love, much more power, much more discipline. So give us those things tonight. Make your words, your scripture alive. Hit us in the heart, hit us in the head. Glorify yourself. Pray that you like this. If you see all that other stuff, I pray it's a good time too. Love you a lot. Amen. So, yeah. Adam actually introduced this series. It was about 2 months ago. And he did a really good job. He really challenged us. It's like, yes, there's stuff you do, but it's not about what you do. It's who you are and who God designed you to be. Do you remember? It was the first one. God is my creator, so I am who he says I am. Remember, he talked about that inventor thing. It's like, this guy come up with this incredible invention. And he presents it to the world, and the world is like, that's not what you think it is. It's actually for this. And he's like, and the inventor's like, no, I made this thing. I know what it's for. It's ridiculous for the world to tell an inventor what he invented. God has created each one of us. I am super into the sovereignty of God. He does everything on purpose. Everything happens inside his idea. Whether you level up in a video game, whether the Broncos win, he cares about all that stuff. The minutiae of life he's super into. I think so often when we think about ourselves, we think about, well, these accidents happened and here I am. Oh, that is not true. God has designed you to be a person that is specific and like no one else. So cool. And you will love that person. And you'll be like, oh man, yeah, this is sweet. Couldn't come up with a better person if I tried. And I am. Guys, I don't want you to try so hard to be something. Talked about it a little bit last week in that sermon. It's like, we think there's something that we should be. And some of the conversations I've had this last week is like, well, if I get that, if I know that Jesus is my friend, then I'm supposed to do something, right? It's like, well, kind of. But it's more, you just know that God is your friend and know that you are his. Right? It's like, there's things about us that we think we have to chop off. You know, I was talking about the third arm that might be growing out of your back. And like, oh, that's not pretty. I need to get rid of that. But I said that God is created as he is our beloved and we are his. He has made us as the bride of Christ, this beautiful, amazing wedding dress that is for us as individuals and collectively. And you will make that third arm growing out of your back hot. No one wants perfect diamonds. Remember that, too? Cubic zirconiums? Jeweler is just as more likely to throw it in the trash than to give you money for it. It's because they're perfect. They're artificial. The, the natural ones, the imperfect ones, are what jewelers are going for. And that is what Jesus is going for. Your individualism, your uniqueness is what is beautiful. So yeah, I'll get to it later. You don't have to worry about what you do. Adam said it, and Eugene said it. It's like, yeah, you take some stabs. There's stuff that just spills out of being. If you are yourself, then stuff happens. It's like Steve on the porch. Everybody loves to be with Steve on the porch. And Steve, honestly, isn't doing very much except for slowly dying of lung cancer. I'll go to your funeral. Sure, he says stuff and he blah, blah, blahs, but it's just Steve spilling out of Steve. That's why we love him, because he is Steve. He's helped pretty much everybody in this room out. He's done things for us all. But the reason we want to be around Steve is because he's Steve. It's just kind of hilarious to watch. Technically, things are happening. Action verbs are happening. But what we love is who Steve is. One thing that Adam also brought up in his first sermon is, remember the tyranny of the checkboxes? It was actually a reminder. I'm reminding you of his reminder of a sermon like a few months ago. The tyranny of checkboxes. We just think our value is in like checking boxes and getting stuff done. We want to get stuff done. And it's like, people like me if I do this. And sure, it makes life easier typically. But that's not what God has designed us to do. Let's read this passage, the next passage. Yeah, Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Okay. Get to heaven by doing his will. Okay, got to do some stuff. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, we did not prophesy in... Wait, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? I mean, they're like, you know, up top. Yeah, woo, did good, give me 5. And then Jesus will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. God dang it. Is there another verse on that? There should be another verse. Did that get cut off? No, nuts. Let me look at my notes. It's like, I didn't know you. That's what he was going for. It's like, you did great stuff. Fine. Yeah, yeah. But I didn't know you. We didn't really hang out. So this passage starts out like, he who does my will get to heaven. And they're like, yeah, we totally did your will. We did cool stuff. Yeah, touchdown. He's like, ah, no. Who are you? What he wants is to know us. This book. Is it Sky Gittani? Has anybody read any books by Sky Gittani? I know my guys. Dude, this guy is awesome. I don't completely agree with everything he says, and that's pretty much true of everybody I've met in my life, though. But the way he thinks is so awesome, totally outside the box. The way he goes about breaking down the problems of life and like understanding what Jesus says, like, he's a smart dude. Sometimes he ends up in super traditional ways of thought, and sometimes he ends up in really radical trains of thought. It's like, oh, I did not think you were going to end up there. You can't put your finger on him. But anyways, he wrote this book with. That's the title, With. And he talks about these 5 prepositions in regards to God. We either live under God, over God, for God, or from God. And he says all those are like, no, nope. What God wants is to be with us. And we should want to be with him. That's his point. Like, he talked about, like, the Garden of Eden. He's like, the whole point is, like, I just want to hang out with these humans. They're awesome. They do the darndest things. And then they really did a darned thing. They disobeyed him. And it's like, oh, man, we can't be with each other as much. But I'm going to fix it. Everybody's just, hold on tight. I'm going to fix it. And then 6,000 years of history-ish have happened as he's trying to get us back to be with him. He doesn't care about the stuff we do for him. He doesn't care about the stuff we get from him. He's like, no, 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 let's just be together. Let's just do some stuff together. It's so compelling. And this passage points at that. It's like, yeah, you did some stuff, but who are you? Did we hang? Being with God is what we're about. Check my outline again. There's this thing I was reading about. Is a Christian college, or a Christian or Bible college, something like that, whatever. There was like intense code of conduct, you know, because conservative stuff. If you were a student, you had to don't drink, don't smoke, you know, blah blah blah. The typical, you know, don't dance and things like that. And it was hardcore. And unintentionally, it created this schism, like a sharp divide in the student population. Those who towed the line and kept the code of conduct, and then those who didn't. Whether it was one thing, whether it was a habitual thing, or just one time, like it just, there was hardly any middle. It was hard to be middle. It was like, oh, you drank once. Yeah, okay, all right, I know where you stand. And it was so hard. It was like, it was brutal. Like, it created the people who knew everything. It was like, and didn't screw up ever, to be separate from those who needed some questions answered. Girl there said she almost always had an alcoholic drink in her hand, no matter where she went. She was like, I didn't drink it. I don't like alcohol. But I always wanted a beer in my hand. And the interviewer was like, well, why would you, for the sake of a vice you don't care about, risk the discipline of breaking the code of conduct? And she was like, well, it's the badge. People knew that if I had a beer in my hand and I could recognize if somebody else, one of the other students, had a beer in their hand, they were safe. I knew that I could be honest with them, and they knew they could be honest with me. Because they had questions. This is a direct quote. Most of the underground students had not abandoned their faith in Christ. They were just looking for something more robust and real than institutional Christianity. There was some interesting formative things that were happening there. Yes, they cared about integrity more than sobriety. kind of weird. But does this ring a bell? Strike a chord? Sound familiar to any of you here? Yeah. Scum tells this story in different ways all the time. Honesty is something that we didn't design. It's just people who go here care about honesty. Very low, I'm going to swear, very low bullshit tolerance. And yes, I think you guys should value sobriety and integrity. But integrity is so important to us. And we will use badges to say, it's like, yeah, we don't do the institutional thing so well. There's different ways we do it. We got the badges. I was talking with Tina. And I think we worship the badges too much. It's like, oh, I'm a Christian, you know, but I drink beer. I'm a Christian, you know, but I listen to rock and roll. I'm a Christian, but I swear. He's like, well, fascinating. It's half right. We are Christians here. Not everybody. A lot of us are still like, what? What's the Jesus thing? And we are designed for that. We are designed to figure out Jesus here, and we are designed to figure out ourselves here. To remind you, this is our vision. If the kingdom of God is a big circle, we're on the edge. There's people on their way out. It's like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I'll give this place a try. And they stop here. Some people keep going and say, nope, never mind. People on their way into the kingdom of God, like, what? Jesus seems cool. His followers are tough for me. Let me try with you guys. We're an outpost on the kingdom of God, on the edge of the kingdom of God, finding redemption in Jesus Christ. We want honesty. We're asking questions. We're not all mature. Wait, are any of us mature? No, Larry and Mike, they're mature. Seriously, they're not mature either. Everybody in this room is still figuring out God. Everyone in this room is still figuring out themselves. I'm still figuring out who God has meant me to be. Because, man, he wants me to do some stuff that I don't get. We did this series. We did this thing on identity to help you guys figure that out. Because if you guys knew who you were meant to be, oh my gosh, you would kick so much more ass. The devil does not want you to know who you were meant to be. He wants you to feel ashamed. We talked about that last week. I mean, oh my gosh, Elizabeth's story is brutal. And we were part of the bad part. It's like, oh, well, I'm not punk enough to go to Scum. Or, oh, I'm not, I don't want to swear. And I don't like beer. Whatever, like, I don't know. Like, hopefully those aren't all our badges. But we think here, the core is, if you know who God is, you'll figure out more of who you are. And if you know both of those things, this world is going to get better because of your existence. And because of your existence, you just being. Institutional Christianity, it's not inherently bad. Like, we've got seminary students here. We've got seminary professors as part of our family. And we love them. But it's institutional Christianity has so many of those checkboxes that Adam was talking about. Go on a mission trip. Check. Be a regular member of a small group Bible study. Check. Quitting your secular job to become a professional Christian. Check. Check, 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 check. Chill out with the checks. The check boxes don't make you more of who you are. Not in and of themselves. They're fine. They're not bad. None of those, all those things are good. But not necessarily for everybody. I think you all should get in a Bible study with each other, though. You all have to do that, okay? I'm just saying that. All those things are ripe with opportunities for huge formation and understanding. But do any of you like me because of the boxes I check? No. I can check boxes real good. But my son, Pocket, he doesn't want to play video games with me because of the boxes I check. He just likes to be with me. This institutional Christianity thing, we're not going to do that very well here. And we're not going to try very hard for it here. Go to Philippians. And this the Philippians passage, this one is from The Message. So it's this guy, Eugene Peterson, it's his interpretation. It's an interpretation of Scripture. So, but yeah, read this to me. It's vivid. The very credentials. This is Paul talking to this church. And he's like, the very credentials these people are waving around is something special. I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash. Screw those checkboxes. Along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Yes, all of the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master. Firsthand. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. Philippians 3 is one of the instances of profanity in the Bible, if you go to the Greek. Look it up. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Jesus. Jesus Christ. That robust kind that is God's righteousness, not mine. Some of the exact words quoted in that thing about the Christian schism. Robust Christianity. Tasty Christianity. This just jumped into my head, but like a friend of mine went to Mexico for a mission trip, and he met this woman, and she was super old, and her pages of her Bible were worn at the middle, like where she put her fingers to turn the pages. Like she could barely read the words at the edge of the page because she had touched them so much. It was like, whoa, how often do you read this? Oh, all the time. She just kept on saying, oh, el sabor, which means the flavor of Scripture, of truth, of God's righteousness. That's robust. That is not institutional. She did not go to one seminary class. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Sit still! Stop moving.
Just be with me. Know that I am God.
Guys, I tell a lot of stories, and this is one gigantic story that I can't get too deep into tonight. But there was a period of my life, 8 years, eight years that weren't fun, where God just stopped talking to me. He's like, nope. I always knew he was there, but it was so irritating. It was like he was across from a booth at a restaurant with his arms folded and his lips zipped. Oh, man, I was so pissed at him. I thought he was, like, bailing on me in the relationship that we were supposed to have. I'm trying to be with you. You won't say anything. I was not happy with him. In year two of those 8 years, I figured something out. And I do it to this day, and I love it. It's like, all right, you're not going to relate to me? I'm going to figure you out anyway. Every piece of scripture that I read was like, okay, what does this tell me about God? Why would he be into this? Why is this part of his plan? Why would this be interesting to him? There's so many other ways he could have done all of these stories. Why did he want to do it this way? And oh my gosh, did it make him so interesting. I know it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, thing that he wanted me to get to. He's like, look for me. Look for me. And I did. I looked for him and I found him. And he's a weirdo. He's so interesting. I do not agree with everything that God does. It's like, I would not have done it that way, man. I don't get it. Why are you so into it? Like, predestination? Boo! We're still talking about that one. But there's other things that we've talked about, and I said, boo! And I played with them. I tried them, and he's like, okay, yep, totally, you were right. I haven't won any of the arguments yet. At best, we're still talking about it. He is interesting. He does what he feels like doing. He's so interesting. He has opinions. He likes Beethoven more than Mozart. I'm convinced. And it's from me getting to know him in Scripture, to be with him. I wanted to be with him. I mean, though he wouldn't say anything. Like, he's talking now. I'm like, okay. About freaking time. But I'm figuring out who I am as I figure out who he is. And that's what we do at Scum of the Earth Church. This is a safe place to do that. To take stabs and be wrong. It's one thing that, as Elizabeth and I were talking about it last week, getting ready for... Oh, dang it. As we were getting ready for last week's sermon... she didn't bring it up in her talk, but she was like, it's like I was trying on all these clothes that I thought were cool, but did not fit me right. I'm gonna throw you guys a bone. There is something that you can do. That is, try on some clothes. Try some of those check boxes. Not for the sake of checking boxes, but try some stuff. Eugene talked about this. Adam talked about this. It is weird. Make some educated guesses as to how you and God can be with each other in real and vibrant El Sabor ways. And there'll be times where you're like, I'm not doing that anymore. And there'll be times where you're like, oh my gosh, I look awesome. This dress was meant for me. Because it is. This is one time I strayed from an important tenet in my life. The tenet was brought to me by Eddie Spaghetti of the Super Suckers. He told me at a show once from the stage. He was talking to all of us, not just me. But he said, if you go to the record store and in this hand you have rock and roll and in this hand you have something else, always buy the rock and roll. And that is a tenet I live by. But anyways, I screwed it up once. I started working at I got out of college and I became a manager at this skateboard shop, skateboard snowboard shop. And one of the cool things is you get stuff for cost. So you're like, oh, cheap skate gear, cheap snowboard gear. It's like, oh, this is sweet. And everybody gets there. Inevitably, you get there and you see all this cool stuff. I was like, oh, this is amazing. And I was in charge of receiving stuff and computerizing stuff. And these pants came in. They were awesome. I think they were there by like Element or something like that. But it was not rock and roll. They're kind of like parachute pants. They had all these cool doodads on them and stuff. I was like, dude, these are awesome. It was like probably my first week I was there. And I was like, I'm buying these. And I bought them. I got them home. Next day I was going to wear them. I put them on. And then, oh, these do not go well with rock and roll t-shirts. They were not me. There are skateboard guys that are super into that. Is, you know, like alphanumeric or Element, you know, you know, there's different kinds, and there's kind of the technical guys, and then there's like the Baker guys that are more rock and roll, like Skate to Destroy guys, and then there's the other guys that are like Skate to Create guys. And anyways, I'm going off. I tried on some clothes, and I bought some clothes that didn't fit me. I was telling my daughters, like, Tootsie, you're beautiful. And you're going to learn to be more beautiful as you become Viva, as you become yourself. And try other things. Try other things and see if they fit you. See if they don't fit you. Look at other girls. They're like, oh, I like the way that she wears that. And try it yourself, and maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't work. And eventually start modifying things. That's what we all need to do. We need to take stabs. Go on some mission trips. Dave just left for a short-term missions trip. It's something that we've done in the past and something that we will do, but we're in between those projects right now. Try a couple small groups that we have. We got a list of them back at the Scoop. Try stuff. Try worship. Try musical worship. Try visual worship. Try things on. It's like, yes, I rule at this. God, it's like God's helping me. It's like God's doing this with me. Chase God. Chase him around. There'll be times that are like, God, you told me to do this, but man, are you here? And there's things that he's commanded us to do. And I'll do them. Like, give my money. Like, it's not fun to give my money to Scum and to other missionaries that I care about. It's not something that I'm like, yeah! It's like, ouch! But I still do it because he tells me to do it. But there's some people that are like, oh my gosh, I've got $100, so here's $200. They give out as much money as they want. They can get their hands off. They give it away because they just are addicted to giving people money. Because that is something that they experience with God. So there are things that we just do because he tells us to. He is in charge. We're friends. Oh, that's totally behind the table. You can't read that. But God is our friend and we are his. We're bros. Jesus is our brother as a human. Which is bends our brains. But at the same time, he's God and he's better than you and he can tell you what to do. In that Philippians passage, it's still there. Don't have the verses on there, but yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus. That is the high privilege. Knowing Christ Jesus as what? As my master. He's a good boss.
And he's designed you to be specifically you. Since he is master, he can bring you to that, and no one else can. Guys, we're going to keep going with this identity thing. We've got a few weeks left. Oh, man, next week is going to be awesome. It's Scott Kingery. He is a king, man, and his last name is Kingery. He's a king. I like saying that about people I like. You guys got to be here next week. It's going to be heavy in the best way. We're going to keep going with this. We're going to tell you theologically what is true, who God is and who we are and in relation to that. And that will help us because I want you guys to believe that these things are true about you and then how you live, how you exist in those truths. So stay tuned, and we're going to talk about it more. I want you guys to pray with me, and then we'll go on. All right, God, you're amazing. You're so interesting. You're not a robot. You're not this do-the-right-thing, perfect program in the sky. You are imminent. You are here with me, with my friends. I see you in my friends. And my friends are interesting. And I agree, Beethoven is better than Mozart. Reveal yourself more. Reveal yourself clearer all the time. And then reveal myself to me. Reveal my friends to themselves. Let us not worry about doing. Let us be still and know you. Amen.